We are after Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Yud. Now, let's recap. Yesterday, Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Aleph through Pasuk Tes, we learned about the Kohanim. Good morning, how are you? We learned about the Kohanim that lived, the Kohanim, the heads of the Mishmaros that came up during the time of Yeshua. Okay, so just to recap, the beginning of Perek Yud Beis, we learned that we were going back to the beginning of Sefer Ezra, and we were discussing the Tkufa of Koresh. 52 years after the Churban Bayis Rishon, Koresh issues a proclamation that the Jews are allowed to return back to their homeland. And at that point in time, who were the leaders of Klal Yisrael? There were two main figures, Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was a direct descendant of David HaMelech, the last kings of Yehuda, and Yeshua, otherwise known as Yochanan Kohen Gadol, who appears in Treyasar, a very prominent figure. And these two people led the 42,360 people back to Yerushalayim, back to Eretz Yisrael, and they rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash, and they reinstituted the Mishmaros, the 24 Mishmaros. And yesterday we learned the names of the leaders of the 22 of the 24 Mishmaros. That's what we did pretty much yesterday. And then we listed just a very few names of the leaders of the Mishmaros of the Levium. What happened to the missing two Kohanim leaders of the 22 missing Mishmaros? It's not clear. It's not mentioned. We only have 22 of the 24. We know that there were 24. What happened to the vast majority of the leaders of the Mishmaros of the Levium? It's not clear. They're not mentioned. So we have to assume that they were not as prominent, or that some of the other leaders, their families were subdivided into larger groups, and that's how it came to a total sum of 24. Now, we're going further ahead in history. Pasuk Yud, we're going to list all of the Kohanim Gedolim that existed from the beginning of the Bayis Sheni until the closing of the Sefer Tanakh. You know, there are 24 books in Tanakh. The last list, going to some of this, the last Sefer Nehemiah, really is the end. The order, why it's ordered, it's not so clear. It's not. There's no real absolute ordering to the 24 Sefer Tanakh. But we began Sefer Ezra. We mentioned that Ezra and Nehemiah really pick up the same pasuk. The first pasuk of Ezra is the same pasuk, is the same as the last pasuk of Divrei Hayyamim, which seems to indicate that Sefer Ezra Nehemiah is a continuation of Sefer Divrei Hayyamim. But at a certain point in time, the Sifrei Tanakh came to an end, although the Beis HaMikdash continued to exist for almost another 400 years. Because the Sifrei Tanakh pretty much came to an end at the time of Alexander the Great, at the time of the beginning of Malchus Yavan, at the end of Malchus of Paras Umadai. Paras Umadai, we have Golus Bavel, Golus Paras Umadai. At the end of Modai Paras, the beginning of the Malchus of Yavan, is where the Sifrei Tanakh came to an end. Now we have a tradition. This is a very big mystery, which Rav Schwab, after doing an enormous amount of research, writes that there is no answer. He leaves it as a tzarich in gedolah. I'm not aware that anyone has come along and given an answer to this question. That we have a tradition that the entire tkufa of Paras Umadai was 34 years. 34 years, the time when Koresh came to power, until Alexander the Great conquered the world, and Eretz Yisrael was under the authority of the Yevanim. Klal Yisrael had to pledge allegiance to the Yevanim, the Greeks. They had control over the whole world, including Eretz Yisrael, the Beis HaMikdash, and for a very significant Tkufa, there was peace, and Klal Yisrael was able to do whatever they wanted. It was in the middle of the Tkufa, the Tkufa of the Yevanim, according to Chazal, lasted for 180 years. And the miracle of Chanukah happened pretty much right smack in the middle of the 180 years. 90 years, a little bit more. But the beginning was okay, and the end was also okay. The beginning was, the middle was where it was rough. But how long did the Malchus of the Golus of Paras Umadai last? 34 years. That's the entire period. shocking. Galus Edom, it's already we're nearing in on 2,000 years. It's already 1,900 and change. It's almost 2,000 years. But the Galus of Yavin was 180 years. The Galus of Paros Modai was 34 years. And at the end of this Kufa is where Tanakh, this Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh, came to an end. It was sealed. Any further book that would be added could not be part of the canon, cannot be part of the, because there were no Nevi'im. At the end of the Tekufa of Paras Umadai is where the last of the Nevi'im lived. They died. As we mentioned, we discussed that Ezra Nechemi, they were Mevatel the Yetzara for Avodah Zarah. And with the Bittul of the Yetzara for Avodah Zarah came the payment, came the loss of prophecy. Zeh le'umazeh bara Elokim. Yeshua had an option. We discussed this at great length. Yeshua had an option of also 500 years ago also being mevatel the Yetzar for Avodah Zarah. Yeshua chose not to. He chose to allow Klal Yisrael to struggle with the Yetzara for Avodah Zarah, and it more intensified the Yetzara for Gilui Arayos, because if we would be able to overcome this Yetzara, we would have the benefit, we anyway had the benefit of having a corresponding intensification of Kiddusha, which came to us in the form of prophecy, of Nevuah. Anyone that wanted to reach a level of prophecy had the opportunity to do so. We know that there were, Chazal tells us, at least 1,200,000 prophets during the entire Tekuva prophecy. We only have recorded 48 of them because 48 of their, for only 4 of them had words which affect us ad Hayom Hazeh. But there were schools of prophets, the real thing. Not like here on the news, crazy things today will go on. I'm talking about the real thing. We have mentioned in Sefer Malachim, Sefer Shmuel. There were students who were prophets. There was the real thing. And that was all because they were willing to struggle with the Yetzara for Avodah Zarah and Gilui Arayos. But it also gave us the benefit that we have these Sefer Tanakh. We have all of these Psalms. We have Yeshaya and Yecheskel and Yirmiyah, and we have the Treyasar, and we have all the Sefer Ksuvim. It's all an outgrowth of prophecy. Everything had to come with prophecy in Ruach HaKodesh. When Ezra and Nehemiah were mevatel the Yetzar for Avodah Zarah, and they stifled, they diminished the Yetzara for Gilui Arayos, that was the end of the prophets, and that was the end of Tanakh, and therefore Tanakh comes to an end at this point in time with the end of the Malchus of Paras Umadai. Were really Modai Paras, and the beginning of the Malchus of Yavon. Who Yavon began with Alexander the Great. Who did Alexander the Great, when he came to conquer the world, when he came to Yerushalayim, who did he greet? He was met by Shimon HaTzadik. Who is Shimon HaTzadik? Shimon HaTzadik was the son of, or the grandson of, the seventh Kohen Gadol. Now that's what we're going to see right now in this pasuk, in pasuk Yud. Here we have pasuk Yud. V'Yeshua hoylid es Yoyakim. Yeshua was the first Kohen Gadol of the Bayis Sheni. He was one of the two leaders who came up during the time of Ezra. He gave birth to the second Kohen Gadol of this period of time, called Yoyakim. V'Yoyakim hoylid es El Yoshif. He was the third Kohen Gadol. The El Yoshif es Yoyada. V'Yoyada hoylid es Yoynasan. V'Yoynasan hoylid es Yadua. So what do we have? We have a total of 6, if I'm not mistaken. Yeshua, Yoyakim, El Yoshiv, Yoyada, Yoynasan, and Yadua. 6 Kohanim Gedolim. Yadua, the last, was the father of, or if I'm conflicting Midrashim, I'm not exactly sure, either the father or the grandfather of Shimon HaTzadik. That would be the 7th or 8th generation. And he was the one who greeted Alexander the Great. And this is a famous Gemara. The Gemara says when Alexander the Great saw him, he said, he bowed down. Mm-hmm. Alexander the Great. Alexander Mokdon.
No.
Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik was the one that appeared, right? So when he met him, he bowed down. He was not a person to bow down to anyone, Alexander the Great. He was a ruthless, extremely powerful person. And when he saw Shimon HaTzadik came out to greet him wearing the big day kahuna, he was wearing the big day Shemayna, the Malbushim to come with the tzitz, and the eel, and the chayshah, and the whole works. He came out to greet him, and there's a very big question in Chazal, how was Shimon HaTzadik allowed to wear the big day kahuna outside of the Beis HaMikdash, Hayro HaShah, and he came out with an entourage, and when Shimon HaTzadik saw him from a distance, he bowed down, and his soldiers said, how are you talking? Are you going to bow down to someone? What's, he said, when I fight my battles, this person appears, goes before me, the angel, there's a guardian angel which goes before me, and the tzura is the tzura of Shimon HaTzadik, and therefore I attribute my success to his prayers, to his guidance, and I know I'm only successful because of him. And they made peace, and because of this peace, they were able to live in peace and security for a number of years until many years later, after he died, his malchus was broken into four parts, and then things took a bad turn at some point in time. And we have the story that Kufa is about a 50-year period. The story of Hanukkah took place over a 50-year period of time. The story of Hanukkah, which was a very dangerous and horrific time for Klal Yisrael, and then when the Yevonim overcame them, things went back to peaceful period of time until the Romans took control. Not much, like 90 years later, the Romans came along and they took control, and that led ultimately to the Churban Beis HaMikdash. But the point over here is Yadua is either the father or the grandfather of Shimon HaTzadik. Now that opens up a majorly question, which there is no answer for. And how could it possibly be, if we have a tradition that the entire period of the Malchus of Yavon, of Paras Umadai, was 34 years, how could it possibly be seven generations of Kohanim serving in the Beis HaMikdash during 34 years? Because Yeshua was the first, he was the Kohen Gadol when Koresh issued the proclamation to return. That was, Koresh came to power, that was the first of 34 years. And then we have Yo-Yakim, and then we have El-Yashiv, and we have Yo-Yado, and we have Yo-Yinah-Son, and we have Yadua. And Yadua was either the father, grandfather of Shimon HaTzadik, and Shimon HaTzadik, when Alexander the Great comes, that was the beginning of the Tkufa of the Yevonim. So what is going on here?
Beyond the period of the...
No, but Yadua, it's 34 years, it can't be. Yadua is the father or grandfather of Shimon HaTzadik. And Shimon HaTzadik is an adult, he's a mature adult when he's greeting.
But who says that he's enumerating here only the 34 years? He's going from the first...
What do you mean? The 34 years... Alexander the Great is coming at the beginning of the third, at the end of 34 years. No. Alexander the Great is arriving 34 years after Koresh issues the proclamation, you can return back home. Koresh says, beginning of Sefer Ezra, right, that's the beginning of Sefer Ezra, Koresh says, makes an announcement, Rabbi Yisai, come home. How could it be seven? It's even more, seven or eight. Yeshua is either the grandson. How could it be? So Rav Schwab, so technically in Farsha, well, if we want to say that they got married at a very young age, at 15 years old, 13 years old they got married, they had a child, and Yeshua at this time was over 100 years old, you can make a calculation.
So he had a son,
a grandson, a great-grandson. If everyone gets married at 15 years old, but that means they have to have died. They died in such close succession, or it means they retired. That's not something they died. They took turns, you know, the grandfather, the great-great-grandfather, so he gave it over to his son, grandson. It's theoretically possible. But it's not so far-fetched. You look in certain societies, they get married very, very young. Today it's not unheard of that people are grandfathers when they're 40 years old. It's not unheard of. It's rare, but you have such stories. So if this process goes on, where people get married, okay, girls typically get married when they get younger, but let's say in those ancient times, a boy would get married when he's 15 years old. It's not impossible. Yeshua arrived there to show when he was 100 years old, he already had a son that was 80, if he was 100 years old, that would make him 85 years old, and then he had another son 70 years old. It's not impossible to have a succession of 7-8 generations in order, and we don't have to say that they died. We can say that they did their time, they served 1 or 2 years. Now let my son, my grandson. Well, they're all sons, they're all brothers.
Yeah, so how did each
they took over. They were Tomei. Right. Doesn't that mean they have to die? They gave it over. No, exactly. They stepped aside. They stepped. Yeah, Kohen Gadol. There's no halacha has to die in office. There's no such halacha. Kohen Gadol, if he wants, he can step down.
It's
Tame.
One time.
The same time, like, let's say, because they always needed to be a Kohen Gadol on duty. So if someone was Tame, it's inevitable. It's inevitable that they're going to be Tame at some point in time. Once you are a Kohen Gadol, you're always Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol is always a Kohen Gadol. So if you step aside for, let's say, there's some ceremonial service which needs the Kohen Gadol and it's not available and he has to step aside, so there's someone to replace him. So the point we have over here is we have 7 generations in a time span of 34 years. It's a very big mystery. Rav Schwab, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, takes note of this mystery. He tries, struggles with this idea of the 34 years. Perhaps we have to work with an understanding that when Chazal said of the Malchus of Yavon, the Paras Umadam, excuse me, when the Malchus of Moda Yuparas was 34 years, it doesn't necessarily mean 34 years the way we translate 34 years. It means something more. There's some deeper meaning to 34 years. But that creates other problems because we have to make room for the 180 years of Malchus of Yavon, and plus the next number of remaining years for Edom until the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. So something's got to give. The numbers are very tight according to our tradition. And furthermore, if we try to match up our cheshbonos with secular cheshbonos, Schwab says there are discrepancies. There are missing years. How do we make sense of this? So I don't know the details. He has a number of articles, and he has a thing called Selected Speeches. He was published in Jewish Observer at one point in time. His different ideas, other people as well have come up with different ideas, but everything is said and done. The question is greater than any possible answer. And here in this pasuk, Yud is where it all begins. So this is the Shoresh, the root of the root of where the issue of the missing years begin. In this pasuk Yud, where it clearly records 6 generations of Kohanim Gedolim, we know that the 6th is Yo-Yoda, who was the father or grandfather of Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik, the Gemara explicitly says, greeted Alexander Mokdon, Alexander the Great, and that began the Tkufa of the Malchus of Yavon, which means the Malchus of Paras U'Modai ended only 34 years after it began. How do we fit 7-8 generations of Kohanim Gedolim in such a short span of time? Yeah, but these are children. Because you could look, you see, if you want to go say that maybe
he lists the dating. I mean, he sort of gives a figure.
Yeah.
How it would be? He said, "I don't know what this." He says, "I don't know what all the commotion's about." That's his language.
Well, because
if what all the commotion's about, it works, you know.
Because if you're 100 years old, if you start out that Yeshua is 100 years old, yeah.
What you were saying is basically what he said.
They don't have to die,
right?
But he's just saying is that technically it works.
He says that the reason you had so many Kohan and the Dolim, he says, so like when Shimon HaTzadik came along, for instance, everybody recognized the fact that he was greater than his father or grandfather.
Yeah.
So they appointed him Kohen Gadol right away.
was he was obviously gadol.
But how do you fit seven generations, 34 years?
Yeah, but he starts to give a figure, 15 years.
Oh, okay, right. Exactly. So he's doing, he's putting together, what he's doing is putting together two chidushim. Yeah. Number one, Yeshua was over 100 years old. Yeah. And that's how we can fit seven generations in 34 years. Number two, right. You don't have to die in office.
Right.
So if you put together those two factors, technically it works. But all the Mefarshim, they have a very hard time with that. They have a hard time because the chances that everything worked out so perfectly to have seven generations, 34 years, is very, very far-fetched. And to say everyone was so generous to give it over to the next child after their tummy and gave it over to the next child, it's a little bit... It's a difficulty. Okay, so but I don't want to bring out the issue. I want to bring out the issue, and the issue here is here on this one pasuk yud. Now pasuk number. Now one of the small little point is that I don't have an answer. It says with hoylid by all of them except for one. Hey Yeshua hoylid es Yoyakim, Yoyakim hoylid es El Yoshev es Yoyada. There is no word hoylid. So what does that mean? Does that mean that maybe Yoyakim gave birth to two children, El Yoshev and Yoyada? So, and it wasn't another generation. That, you know, that it could save you 15 years. That's a lot of time, especially when you're really hard pressed to add a couple of years. Maybe Yoyakim had two children, Yoyakim Holides El Yoshev. And also Yoyada, and it just means that Yoyakim, he gave it first to El Yoshev, and after El Yoshev, he gave it to his brother Yoyada. It doesn't say Hoylid. Mysteriously, the word Hoylid is missing after, so maybe they were brothers. And it just means that after one brother retired, or one brother, he was tummy for the day, like Mayaski said, you tummy for the day, so you give it over to the next one, but once you're a Kohen Gadol, you don't lose the status of being a Kohen Gadol. There's only one brother.
For the other, Yoyakim, and the rest of them.
Why is the word missing? It's very mysterious. It doesn't have the word Hoylid. Hoylid es El Yoshev, El Yoshev es Yoyada.
It's assumed.
Yeah, but if it's assumed, so you could assume the same thing all the other ones. It's in Pasuk Yud Aleph. V'yoyado hoylid es yoynesan. V'yoynesan hoylid es yadua. We have the word hoylid in every single one.
Is that assumed that that's the only son they have?
No, of course not.
No, so why? But
they were the Bukhar. They were the Bukhar. They have the Gemara stories like that. The younger one is more eligible than the older one. And they have fights and wars. They kill each other. We have all these.
No, but they're out. Most of those don't have the word Holid.
What?
The Yemin Cheshach says the word Holid doesn't belong here. I mean, he says most of the Fus that he looked at, he saw a lot of, they don't have the word Holid.
Altogether.
It's not there. The word is not in the other... the
missing word.
It came about somehow. Here we have it, but in most of the
Oh, really?
Doesn't happen.
Okay, alright, so he's saying there's a whole question where the gear says. Okay, so there's a whole question.
Because he says only a few sperm say holy.
The way we have in our text.
No. Yeah.
The way we have in our text.
He starts to list all the right. Ones that don't have the word in it.
We don't know. The Nevi'im and Ksuvim, the Mesorah is very weak. We know that. That we have a tradition. Mesorah Smiyadeinu, that the Mesorah of the text of Nevi'im and Ksuvim. There are many, many. This is an area that I told you about the Keter Aram Tzoiva. The Keter Aram Tzoiva, the Aleppo Codex, shocked. This goes back 50 years already, more than 50 years. When it was revealed, this was tradition that this is what the Rambam refers to as the most. Rambam writes about it. He wrote a Sefer Torah from this Sefer, and we have evidence that this is what the Rambam refers to. The Rambam, this is it. This is the most accurate text. Problem is, there are discrepancies between the Aleppo Codex and what we have handed down for 1,000 years. What? I don't know. What? Which word?
Tzudaka.
Yeah, I don't know. But forget about Chumash. In Nevi'im and Ksuvim, there are many things. So there's a big machlekes of the Gedolim. You're talking about, I don't like to use that word, the Charedim. There's a big machlekes among the the Gedolei Yisrael, you know, among the traditional camps, if we should, all of new Nevim and Ksuvim that are written today by Seifim should conform to the Aleppo Codex, which I think of Chaim Kanievsky says it should. You should now write all the Seifim who write Nevim and Ksuvim, write it just like the Aleppo Codex. Don't go tell me Mesoira. Our Mesoira on Nevim and Ksuvim is very weak. There is no Mesoira. It's Golos. It's lost. You have Aleppo Codex? Follow the Aleppo Codex. Other Gedolei Yisrael, from the biggest Gedolei Yisrael, they disagree there. I think maybe it could be Rebbe Eliashiv. No. We have a Mesoira. The Mesoira is the Yikar. Aleppo Codex? No, Aleppo Codex is a Kasha. It's a good Kasha. But it's not going to change anything. So you have a look at this. So he's pointing out over here, it's very bizarre. Pasuk Yud and Pasuk Yud Aleph, the word Hailid is missing. What? Why? So he's saying that it doesn't appear in some of the old texts. Okay, that's an interesting idea. Okay, let's just go a few more Pasukim further. Now, Pasuk Yud Beis.
Wouldn't the chain be broken if El Yashav wasn't the father of
those? Yes, so then it would go to the brother in Chanami. If they were two brothers, and then one the
when they go then to Yosef's side,
we're saying a very big chiddush that they were brothers. It's probably not true. They were sons. It's probably not true. And even if they were, even they're not, there's no it's not etched in stone where it goes with the line. There are other factors. Maybe he had no other children. There were no children, or maybe the other children were not Roy. So there's a whole seder of how the hierarchy and the Yerusha of the, how this process works. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Yibes. Pasuk Yibes, Yoyakim, Hoyu Kohanim, Rosh Avos. Now, we'll do something here that's very interesting. In Pasuk Yibes, we're going to list the leaders of the Mishmaros again. For some reason, Sefer Ezra Nechemiah is obsessed with listing names, leaders, giving kavod. It's an interesting thing to give, you know, when you put someone's name down, for us, it doesn't mean anything. But for the people, it means the world. You know, this is you know, they're for all of time they're being recorded, and for the families, there's no greater honor in the world than having your name in Sifrei Tanakh, Choftal Sifrei Tanakh. So Ezra Nechemiah, they're very involved in being machabed, giving kavod to people. You know, today, unfortunately, we live in a world where we don't appreciate what it means to give kavod. Ezel mechubad ha-machabed. When you mispal, they go off the track, when you mispal on Rosh Chodesh, you mispal for kavod, oisher v'chavod. So I was once by a levi, and I heard the person said that we master a woman that when she said, and she read the Birchas Rosh Chodesh, she couldn't bring herself to say kavod. She felt that it's not, that's wrong, because you have to know what it means. Oyshav v'chavod means not that you should receive kavod. Ezehu mechubad ha-mechabed. You should have a month where you have an opportunity to be mechabed someone else. And just may happen to be that in order to give kavod, you have to be in a certain position. You know, if an ordinary person gives kavod, no big deal. If you're the President of the United States and you're giving someone kavod, that's a different type of kavod. You're getting kavod. So it might work for your benefit. But what you're really being mispalel for is to have an opportunity to be mechabed someone else. Ezra Nechemiah, if you look between the lines, what are they doing here? You know, this last sefer, this is the end of Tanakh. They're teaching us, be mechabed people. They're very machbed in putting into words the names of the people who led Klal Yisrael. The people who gave up of themselves, the sacrifice of their time and effort to lead and to guard Klal Yisrael. They gave him a lot of kavod. So first, in the beginning of Perek Yud Beis, we listed all of the people who served in the administration of Yeshua. Now Yeshua shortly thereafter stepped down. I'm retiring. I've done my thing. We only have 34 years, remember. We have to fit in 7 generations. I've done my time. I'm stepping down. New administration is taking over. The next in the line is Yoyakim. Yoyakim, new administration, right? When there's a new president, what happens? Clean house. New administration. Who are the cabinet members? Who are all the deputies, the secretaries, so on and so forth? So now in Pasuk Yud Beis, we're going to list all of the 24 Mishmaros, the leaders of Kohanim, who served in the administration of Yoyakim. So you think, listen, it's only been a few years, keep some of the old people, right? Don't do a clean house. There are 24 Mishmaros. So indeed, he kept the first six. The first six were the same, but everyone else was different. And what's also different about Pasuk Yud Beis, it's already revealing to us not just the names of the leaders, but the name of the Mishmar. This is very important for Kinos and Tisha B'Av, where there's a Kinos of Chavatzeles HaSharon. And we list the 24 Mishmaros. It doesn't list the leaders. There it does list the leaders. It lists there the names of the Mishmaros, and it's a conglomeration, not just the Mishmaros from the Bayis Rishon, from the Bayis Sheni, some from the Bayis Rishon, from the Bayis Sheni, and some of them really were listing from the, not the people themselves, but the place where they came from, the cities where they came from. Here, and if shortly thereafter, the following were the Kohanim who led the 24 Mishmaros. Now, Lisroya, Miraya. So if you go look at the word Lisraya, let's jump back to Pasuk Aleph in Perek Yud Beis. Ve'ela ha'kayhanim v'alim ha'sha'alu im Zerubav ben Shaltiel v'yeshua. Who are the leaders of Kayhanim? The first three were Siraya, Yirmiya, and Ezra. So here is that same person. It's only been a few years later. After Yeshua steps down, his son Yoyakim takes over. He preserves Siraya as the leader of one of the 24 Mishmaros, and we actually give us the name for the first time of the Mishmar. The Mishmar was called Miraya. Siraya was the leader of the Mishmar called Miraya. Next, Yirmiya. Yirmiya was the second person in Pasuk Aleph. Right? There were three people listed. Yirmiya, who was he in charge of? He was in charge of Hananya. Hananya is not a name of a person. Hananya is the name of an entire Mishmar. Next, Ezra. Ezra is the third person. Right? He's the third person in Pasuk Aleph. Go back to Pasuk Aleph, the three. Siraya. Remember, we mentioned yesterday that Yirmiya and Ezra, this is not Yirmiya Hanavi, and it's not Ezra HaSofer. Because Yirmiya Hanavi died long before. Yirmiya lived at the time of the Churban Beis HaBayis Rishon, and that was it. After the Churban, right after the Churban, he disappears. He's no more around. And Ezra didn't come yet. Ezra did not come in Pasuk Aleph. Ezra came much later. He came much later on in time. So here, these are different people who have the same name. Ezra is Mishulam. Ezra, the third person, he is in charge of the Mishmar called Mishulam. Now, go further. Amariah, Pasuk Beis. Amariah is the fourth person. Amariah, who is he in charge of? Yehoichanan, that's the name of a Mishmar. Pasuk Yudalit. Limlichu is Yoina's son. So now this one, Limlichu, is he here? No, he's not here. Limlichu is a new person. I think the other six will find. I'm getting confused. Not six. We only had four then, right? We had for only the first four so far. Could there's going to be some other repetition from the later names? But here we have a new person, Limlichu. He was in charge of Yoina's son, Lishvanya. And then we have this person called Shivanya. He's in charge of Yosef. Now it's very confusing because Yosef, obviously, thinks the name of a person, but not in this context. It's here the name of an entire Mishmar. Next.
Ramach says it goes back to Derek Beis, the name
Maluch
is in the Hebrew. That's what the
Ramach
says.
Okay, the Maluch, go back to where? The Pasuk, which Pasuk? A Maluch. Pasuk Yud Beis.
Yes.
So it said Maluch is Lamalichu. That's number five. Okay, he's Yoina's son. And what about Lishvanya? Shvanya mentioned? Shvanya is not mentioned. So there will then be five. So far there will be five. Some reason I have mentioned is six. It's going to be another name coming up so far. Okay, let's see Pasuk Tezvav. Lichorim. We have here Chorim. He was in charge of Adna. Lim Royos. And Marios is in charge of Chelki. Lido. Zecharia, Leginson Mishulum, La'avia Zichri. We have next Lemin Yamin. Just looking quickly, though, we have these people mentioned before. No, Lemin Yamin we don't have before. Yeah, we have Lihirius. Lemin Yamin.
Lemarios, he said, is Maremos.
Limbroros is Maremos. Okay. And the pasuk, it's good. The pasuk that we have Lemin Yamin. If we assume that Lemin Yamin is the same person, he is Lemod Lemodaya. La'avia Zichri, Lemin Yamin Lemodaya. These two go together. Lemin Yamin, Lemodaya. These are hard to translate because these two don't go together. It's a little bit confusing. These three different. There are many interpretations how to read these three. Lemin Yamin is Lemodaya. Piltoi. Some learned that it was a double name. Lemin Yamin was in charge of Lemodaya Piltoi. Or some say that both of these people together, they were in charge of Piltoi. So we'll learn very simple that Lemin Yamin, look at how the Mitzvah learns the Pasuk, which I'll jump to a moment, Pasuk Tes Vav, in the Mitzvahs. There is no Mitzvahs here. So there's a Rashi test, Pasik test, well, there's no Rashi. Lemin Yamin. There you go, Pasik Yitzayin. He has it as Pasik Yitzayin. I'm sorry, here you go, Pasik Yitzayin. Rashi, let's look at the Mitzudas and Pasik Yitzayin. Lemin Yamin Lemodaya. Hamishmora Hahi Nikres Beshte Shemas. This Mishra was called by two names. Lemin Yamin Lemodaya Piltoi. So the person, Lemin Yamin, was in charge of the Mishmer called Lemodaya Piltoi. Okay, next, Levilga. We know Levilga. Levilga was the name we found in the Gemara, but that was that was much, much ahead. Levilga is the name of a person, Shamua, and Lishmaya was Yehoina's son. To the Shmaya was in charge of, Shmaya is also mentioned, Pasuk Vav. A lot of these names do reappear, so it could be they're the same person, it could be they were different people. It's not clear if they're the same different people, but Lishmaya was in charge of the Mishma called Yehoina's son. Uli Yoyariv was Matnai, and Lidaya was Uzi. Lisali, he was in charge of Kalai, and Le'omok was in charge of the Mishmer called Eder. Lechilkia was in charge of Chashavya, and Lidaya was in charge of Nisanel. Okay, so this concludes these two until Pasuk Beis and list. Now, if we count them very carefully, we'll notice there are only 20. So we're going down in number. We started with 22 in the time of Yeshua, and we go down to the next generation. There are only 20. Again, we have to come up with the same answer that we're only listing the major mishmaros, but it had to be that some of these mishmaros were further subdivided to give us a grand total of 24. There had to be 24 mishmaros, and therefore, even though we only find listed 20, we're going to break them up into more and more categories to make sure we have a total of 24. So this concludes. This concludes the people who served in the administration of the second Kohen Gadol of the Bayis Sheni. Yeshua was the first Kohen Gadol. His son Yoyakim was the second. There was a lot of overlap. He preserved a good number of the people from the previous administration. They were preserved in the second administration. And the advantage we're getting over here in the second administration is we're actually listing the names of the Mishmaros. It could very well be that now Klal Yisrael mature. They develop. When they first arrived on the scene, they just gathered together families. The Mishmaros were not formal. Now, in the second administration, it was years later, they got more sophisticated and the Mishmaros already had formal names. They had accounts, everything was set up on the books, and we can refer to the leader of each Mishmar. Now, what about Pasuch HaBeis? Halevim bimei el Yoshev. Just like what we did in the beginning of the parak, where we took the first administration, Yeshua, and we mentioned the leaders of the Kohanim and the leaders of the 24 Mishmaros of the Levim. Now we're doing the same thing for the Levim. We're going to enumerate the leaders of the 24, the sum of the leaders of the 24 Mishmaros of Levim. HaLevim, that will be Me'el Yashiv. Who are they? Yo-Yada. Now L'chor Yo-Yada is the same. No, there is no Yo-Yada. No, there's a new order. So who is in charge? Yo-Yada, the Yochanan, the Adua, these three people. Okay? Kesuvim Rashi Avos. They were recorded. It's a difficult possible to read them in a few moments. They were recorded as the Rashi Avos, the heads of the families. The Hakoyhanim. Kesuvim is going back on everything. Kesuvim Rosh Avos VeHakoyanim Al Malchus Dar Yovesh HaParsi. Let's see the Mesudas Pasuk of Beis for clarification. Pasuk of Beis in the Mesudas. Halavim B'Meil Yoshev. Ratzolayim Halavim Ashachayim B'Meil Yoshev. Koyin Gadol. Now we're going to enumerate the leaders of the Levim that worked under the administration of the second Koyin Gadol of El Yoshev. Of El Yoshev. No. El Yoshev is the third. What's going on? Pasuk of Beis. Or did I skip by mistake? No. El Yoshev is, which Kohen Gadol is this? This is the third. El Yoshev is the third. Halavim. Let's see Rashi. One more time, the Mitzvot Halavim. Ratzalayim Halavim Ashachoy Me'el Yoshev Kohen Gadol Vimei Yoyada Bino Asher Kihain Tachtov. So we're jumping now down to El Yoshev and Yoyada, which is the third and fourth. Uvimei Bino Yochanan, the fifth is Yochanan. Who Yochanan, Yonatan, Nisko, Lamalov, who Nikon, B'Shtei Shemos. Okay, the Mitzudos is pointing out something which is very important. The fourth Kohen Gadol of the time sometimes is referred to Yoyonasan and sometimes referred to as Yochanan. Here in Pasuk Yud Aleph, where it's mentioned for the very first time, he's called Yoyonasan. But he's also called in this Pasuk and later on as Yochanan here in Pasuk Chaf Beis. Why? He had two names. Rav Schwab writes that we know in the Gemara there was a Kohen Gadol that served in the time of the Bayis Sheni, whose name was Yochanan, who served for 80 years and became a Tzedoki. He became at the very end of his life, he became a Tzedoki. Now the problem is, we only have him 34 years. And we're squeezing in the 34 years, seven Kohanim Gedolim or eight, and if you want to say that Yoinasan was Yoichanan, Yoichanan Kohen Gadol became Mitzdoki at the end, and he served 80 years, and we only have 34 years for eight generations.
So he said some of them ruled; they were Kohen Gadol at the same time.
They were Kohen Gadol.
You had some. You started to say more than one Kohen Gadol at the same time. So you had
several generations.
They overlapped. Okay, we said that before.
Right, I'm saying, we said.
But it doesn't really fit. It is but going with Yochanan Yoinasan, he theorizes that maybe this somehow is, anyway, it's a mystery. How we are able to go figure out all the years, let's put that aside. But we do have here a person, Yochanan. Maybe it was the person who became later at Stoki. We do not know. Okay, let's go further in the Mitzudos. But that's what you have to keep in mind, that there are two people that are one and the same in the Psukim. The fourth Kohen Gadol of the time was either sometimes called Yochanan and sometimes called Yoinasan. So he writes, "Uvimei bino yadua, bimei kulam hayuksuvim during his time, hayuksuvim rashi avos halavim ahem." All of the Rashi Halavim were written down, were recorded. V'yaf Rashi HaKoyhanim Kemoham HaYuksuvim were written. L'Rashim HaMalchus Dar Yavesh Ratzolaymar. Their names were recorded by royal decree in a book of Divrei Hayamim. Not part of the Tanakh, but in a secular book. It was a very big thing in ancient times to record history. These books, as far as we know, have disappeared. They're gone. We don't know where they are. Rest of Al Pi Mitzvah Samelech Avolo Hoyu Harashim Haheim Ruim El Hamala Hahi. Those leaders were not choshev as the ones that are listed here explicitly in the Chaf Dalet Sifrei Tanakh. So let's just read the Pasuk HaBeis one more time. Halevim Bimeil Yoshev. Pasuk HaBeis tells us that, by the way, they were Levim that served in the third administration of El Yoshev, and in the fourth administration of Yoyada, and in the fifth administration of the Yoichanan. Yochanan was the fifth administration, and the Adua, the sixth administration. All of the Levim who served as the heads of the 24 Mishmaros, if you want to know where they are, sorry buddy, we're not going to list them for you here. If you want, go check out, go online and Google them. You'll find them there. They're in the Sefer Divrei Hayamim Ksuvim. They're written Rashi Havos. They're written by their heads of their family. And by the way, not only the Levim who served during administration 3, 4, 5, 6, the Kohanim. We only listed here in the beginning of Perek Yud Beis until now, the leaders of the first two administrations of Kohanim and Leviim. The HaKohanim, where are you going to find them? You're going to find them Al Malchus. Al Malchus means in. It's a short pasuk. It means in. It was written by the command of the king Malchus Daryavesh HaParsi. Daryavesh HaParsi is the son of Esther, as we assume. He was the last of the reign of the Parasumadai. In those documents, Daryavesh HaParsi, in his Malchus, in his Divrei Hayam, is where you'll find the names of the people who served as the leaders of administration 3, 4, 5, and 6, both Kohanim and Leviim. So what we have done over here until this point in time, what we have done here is, we've mentioned today that there are six Kohanim Gedolim, six generations. We have yesterday learned who the leaders of the 24 Mishmaros of the first administration were, both the Kohanim and the Leviim. Then we listed who the leaders of the second administration were, both Kohanim and Leviim. And now, as far as administration 3, 4, 5, 6, we're not going to list them. Because they're not so chashev. Niskatnu hadoyos. We're not going to list them at all. If you want to know who they were, the leaders, and the names of the Mishmaros, check it out elsewhere. There's something called the Sifrei, there's something called Divrei Hayamim for Malchus Poras Umodai, and especially Daryavesh HaParsi. There's where you'll find those people. Okay, let's read the Rashi and we'll stop. Rashi, let's start from Rashi Pasuk Yud. Rashi v'Yeshua Hayulides Yoyakim Kol Elu Shemikra Zeh Hayokohanim Gedolim. All of the six people listed in these two Pesukim Pasuk Yud and Yud Aleph were all Kohanim Gedolim. Yud Beis V'Mei Yoyakim Shon Yekoyim Gadol. Yoyakim was the second of the six. We're now going to list who are the leaders. We give 20 leaders and their respective mishmaros in this pasuk. L'shoyimiraya l'mishmeres shel suraya, for the mishmeres shel suraya. Hayamiraya rosh beis av, for the mishmar of suraya. For the mishmar of suraya. Haya Meroya Rosh Beisav Ula Mishmer Shel Yirmiya Haya Hananya Rosh Beisav V'chein Kulam. So I told you another pshat. But I told you it's not wrong, because I know for sure that someone else says what I told you. But Rashi learns just the opposite. Rashi learns that when you go back to Pasuk Aleph, and it says Seroya Yirmiya and Ezra, somehow those names could be they retired. They're not the same people.
Non-practicing.
It could be they retired and it's new administration, but their entire mishmar was called by their name. So according to Rashi, it's a clean sweep. The administration is over. Everyone is retired. Good morning. Everyone is out. New administration. We have mishmaros. But as a token of honor to the previous administration, to the previous person, we now call, like emeritus, we call the entire mishmar after the name of the first leader. Who was going to be the new appointee? Who got the chair? Like you have a department in college. Who's the who's Yoshev? Who gets the title professor of so and so? What is his name? So that Rashi learns in pasuk yud beis l'sroya niraya. Niraya was the name of a person who occupied, who served as the leader for the mishmar called Suraya. And the reason why the mishmar was called Suraya was a token of appreciation to the first leader in the time of Yeshua. V'chein kulam v'yes asher lo'i pirish kol asherim v'yarbo mishmaros lo'i digdeh emekro b'kach l'mesim kulam. And Rashi points out, if you're going to count, guess what? You're not going to find 24. You're only going to find 20. And even 20, it all depends on how you go break up the names, because it's very complicated. The mishmar had two names, one name, so on and so forth. It's not so simple. So he says, if you're not going to find 24 names, don't worry about it. We're only listing the main ones. The other ones are going to be subdivided. Pasuk HaBeis, Halavim Me'el Yashiv, Halavim Halal Hoyu Rashi Beis Avos B'Mishmarsam, Halavim B'Me'el Yashiv. Then Pasuk HaBeis begins to list the Leviim, during the Leviim that served during El Yashiv HaKoyin HaGadol, V'Akoyahadim HaMenuim L'Mala B'Samuch, Heim Hoyu Rashi Beis Avos B'Mishmarsam Gam B'Me'el Yashiv. They also serve, so he's saying a very big Chiddush Rashi, not like the Mitzudos. they served Halevim b'mei El Yashav Yoyada. Rashi, one more time, the Rashi. Halevim halalu hayu roshei beis avos b'mishmeros Halevim b'mei El Yashav HaKoyin HaGadol. The Levim b'mei El Yashav. So Rashi learns that Pasuk of Beis is a continuation of the previous Pasuk. That the same Levim that served in the first administration, they served in later administrations. Wait, let me just see.
Levim kept going. They were in
the... They stayed the same. That's what Rashi seems to know. Levim ha'alolu ha'yu roshe beis avos b'mishmos ha'levim b'mei El Yashav ha'koyin gadol. Because we're going to really list them for later. Rosh Elvim is Pasuk Chavdalit. Okay, let's do that Rashi for tomorrow. We'll go over that again.
It's Rashi saying the Levim that were in El Yashav's were the late Rosh Beis Shalf of the Levim in Yoyakim's time and Yoshua's time.
Halavim halalu ha'yu Rosh Beis Shalf b'mishmeros Halavim b'mei El Yashav ha'koyin gadol. The following Levim, which following Levim? They're not mentioned. I guess refers to what's going to the Pasuk of Dalet. Pasuk of Dalet, we're going to mention Virasha Halevim, Chashavius, Sheravius. So Pasuk Rashi is connecting what we're going to learn later in Pasuk of Dalet into Pasuk of Beis. In Pasuk of Dalet, we're going to learn more names, more Levim. And those Levim that we're going to mention in Pasuk of Dalet are going to be the Levim that are going to serve in Pasuk of Gimel. So we'll come back to this tomorrow. Okay, Pasuk of Gimel. The other ones are going to be listed later on in the Sefer Divrei HaYamim. Okay, so we'll pick up on this tomorrow. We'll go over this a little late. We'll come back to some of the details. Be'ez Hashem tomorrow.